for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now, here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It's Monday, April 1st, 2024. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format you get to listen to anytime and anywhere. And man, we got a lot of you listening. So thankful for the thousands upon thousands that listen to this. And thank you for sharing it with other associates. Again, really our goal is to bring you some really timely information. Talk about timely. It's April Fool's. Is it any coincidence that we're watching the bonds deteriorate? Today, our interest rates are going up. I looked at this and going, is someone playing the bad April Fool's joke on us? We'll get some market commentary on that because I'm looking at it right now. Where we're looking at is the 10-year treasury at 4.326 at the moment as I'm recording this. Now, again, we'll release this a little bit later. So it could be different when you actually hear this. But anyway, lots going on. First of all, I'm going to say I'm so thankful for each of those that are contributors to the podcast. I'm moving this up to this part of the podcast now because I'm so grateful for Adam DeSanctis, the MBA, turning in, putting in and producing this audio clip. Always so much interest there. Les Parker and his macro view of the market. So much information. And we enjoy his music parody. And then Mark Graham, his classic Mark Graham dry comments about the market. But so much going on. Can't wait to get his report. David Kidd will be joining us a little bit later. He's got a meeting going on. It's running into our time. He'll be joining us. Hopefully, Alice Alvey's here live. And she reminded us earlier that it's opening baseball season. Can't wait. Alice, you're going to have to share with our audience when your segment how you guys are celebrating that Union Home. I love the culture you got at Union Home, Alice. And you'll share about that in just a little bit. Also, Alan Pollock is here with the latest tech update. And we got Bill Corbett, our newest contributor, helping us get perspective on all this. I love his sense of humor. And also his pointed comments, how he points out different things. Did you hear about the chocolate index? Chocolate, how ahead of the Easter? He pointed out chocolate is up 400%. Major indication. If there's anything that would cause for inflation, it would be, who would have thunk chocolate? Also, then, of course, Mark Helm, my co-host, is here. Mark, good to have you here. We were teasing him. He has trouble finding it. But, hey, you got your mute button off. Good job. Hey, Mark, good to have you, my friend. Appreciate it. Dialing in. Let's get over to our sponsors. Again, we're so grateful for our sponsors. They make this podcast possible for so much of the things. We're spending more and more money on pushing this podcast out to people, having people be aware of it, and it really makes a difference, especially when you have companies like Byte Software. We were with them this last week in Louisville at the TMC conference. I love what these guys are doing, how they go about it. They've designed the product, their software, to be both powerful and flexible. The best part I like is it's cost effective. Byte's LOS gives total control, gives you, the lender, total control over your loan process and the freedom to do business in the way you want. And they don't lock you up in some ridiculous, long, expensive contract. So many people are so frustrated with the market leader and they're looking for solutions. If you're one of them, check out Byte Software. Also, listen to the interview we did with Aaron D. of Loan People. It's a really good interview talking about the topic of mortgage technology benefits to lenders. So it can be a benefit. We recorded and released that on January 24th. Also, Finastra. It is a powerful tool that we enjoy their sponsorship. Number one fintech company in the world. And they have this product that's been around forever called Fusion Laser Pro. It's used by so many financial institutions across America. Anyway, also Total Expert, they turn the customer insights into actionable actions that increase loyalty and drive growth for banks, lenders, credit unions, and other financial institutions. Listen to the interview we did with Dan Cantinelli and Melissa Wright of APM, navigating through the continued heightened interest rate environment. Boy, that's applicable today. You look at what's going on with rates. We released that on November 8th. Also, Lender Homepage. I love these guys. You've got to meet and get to know Rocky and Quay of Lender Homepage. What they're doing is helping you connect, convert, and close more loans with AI-powered digital platform that empowers loan officers to connect with more ideal clients, boost realtor referrals, and again, it's all about closing more loans. We've got to get in front of more people, and you got to get the right tools and technology. Some people say technology is a death by a thousand cuts. It can be if you got the wrong technology. Lender Homepage is affordable and very powerful. Also true, TRUV is, again, allows you to have income and employment verifications at 80% cost saving over the market leader, and they cover 90% of the U.S. workforce. Richard Greiser and I are become really good friends. I like this guy a lot. I like the way he markets the company, where he's taking the company. And we released an interview with him, still very applicable. Then Angel AI. I got to tell you what Pavan Agarwal is doing at Angel AI Sunwest is nothing less than transformative. If you're not going on and looking at it, go on to angelai.com. Check it out. I'm here receiving testimonials every single day from top LOs saying, this changed my life. And I work at another lender and I use it to get my underwriters to get the right love number of conditions. It's a powerful tool and the price is free. That's right, free. All right, Mortgage Bankers Association of America gave us some new insights into the market. Hear it from Adam DeSantis in a minute, but man, the cost to originate continues to be a frustration and create huge headwinds for us. The recent market data came out. Pay attention to that. We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative. Again, these two co-ops, so powerful, and it's so fun to get together and meet in a more intimate setting where there's fewer numbers of people, where you have more meaningful conversations with your peers. I love being a part of both these organizations, and I encourage you to check them out. We're members of both. Encourage you to be as well. Mobility MMI, Modex, and Knowledge Coop, along with just what is going on out there. And I see the different technologies and business intelligence tools. You got to take advantage of all of them. Check out them and all of our sponsors on our sponsorship page. Let's get over to Adam DeSantis with this week's MBA Mortgage Update.
Hi, I'm Adam DeSantis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. MBA has been in discussions for months with the GSEs, FHFA, FHA, and the VA to identify possible guideline clarifications or changes that may be needed as a result of new real estate agent compensation arrangements that may arise from NAR's commissions litigation settlement. This includes ensuring that buyer agent compensation paid directly by the seller remains exempt from interested party contribution caps, or IPCs. Last week, MBA and NAR sent a joint letter to leadership at FHA, FHFA, and the GSEs that asked for confirmation that their policies will continue to exclude seller or listing agent payment of buyer agents' commissions from IPCs. In response to MBA's and other groups' ongoing advocacy, FHA then confirmed that existing policy would not treat those payments as interested party contributions, provided all other requirements are met. In addition, MBA has been calling on the VA to expedite regulatory changes to its rule that prohibits veterans and active duty service members from paying any portion of brokerage commission when purchasing a home with a VA mortgage. MBA is also assessing other changes that may be needed in agency guidelines and CFPB rules to ensure any new agent compensation arrangements do not limit access or raise the cost of a mortgage. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you, Adam DeSantis. Also, make sure that you go out and sign up for Mortgage Action Alliance. It's an app. It's an application you get from on your smartphone. Allows us to support what the MBA is doing and their efforts on the Hill in D.C. There's so much. I got to tell you, Bob Brooksmith put it so well when he said that this administration says one thing and sets up policies completely contrary to what their words are. They say this administration is for housing and then what they put in place. And so we've got to be plugged in more than ever to what the MBA is trying to do for us. Good job, Adam DeSantis. And I thank you for the MBA Mortgage Minute and what's going on. So let's get over to Les Parker and this week's macro view of the markets. And what music parody do you have for us today, Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by Power Seller, making hedging easy.
Bricks want a race, chasing bucks can all over the place.
Sing it. We will rock you.
Gold hit record highs as China and other BRICS continued their buying spree. So why hoard gold? Under Russia's leadership, the BRICS, which includes many of the largest oil-producing countries, want to establish a global payment system to compete with the capricious advanced economies' SWIFT system. Gold's rise also reflects doubt that the Fed will avoid a liquidity crisis unless it curtails selling treasuries. Regardless, the 10-year yield is in limbo with no momentum. Stay tuned to Shifting Money as the BRICS say,
we will
these views are mine. Watch BRICS rock bucks at tmspotlight.com.
Yeah, good job, Les Parker. Always enjoy your sentiment on that and your commentary. We're going to listen to the market update from Matt Graham, then we'll talk about all of this. But BRICS, the BRIC nations, the gold standard, what is that doing for us and what's going on in the market rates? I got to tell you, we're in some interesting times, really interesting times. But before we get into what's going on with interest rates, let's hear what Matt Graham has for us. By the way, be sure to sign up for Les Parker's TM Spotlight newsletter. You could do so and get the paid version for free. I like that. Free is a good word. And you can do so by using the word power in the sign-up code where it asks for a code. So put in power for Power Seller. It'll be great. Let's get over to Matt Graham, CEO of MBS Live, with his market update. And I love listening to his. Compared to Les Parker and all that excitement, here's Matt Graham in a more subdued way.
This is Matt Graham with the MBS Live market update. Bonds had a pretty uneventful week last week. It was shortened by the Good Friday holiday, with Friday being fully closed and Thursday being a half day. In addition to that, it was month end and quarter end, which in hindsight seemed to have brought in additional buyers. And this is always a possibility around a month end trading day or trading week. Bonds can go on a run in either direction, and it won't necessarily be connected to any fundamental development or news headline. The reason that we refer to hindsight being relevant in that assessment is that we're seeing a reversal of that trade in the new month trading that's happening today. And here too is another facet of the month end and new month dynamic, where a decided momentum move at the end of a previous month is more often than not reversed, at least to some extent, in the opening hours of the new month. And that's what's happening so far today. It is not being helped by ISM manufacturing, which came in slightly stronger than expected, as well as the prices paid component of ISM manufacturing, which often gets more attention than the headline itself, especially in this inflation-watching environment. All told, it's been good for more than 12 bips of increase in the 10-year Treasury yield, taking us all the way back up to that 4.32 range ceiling. So that's pretty much one fell swoop from March 28th through today, 4.19 to 4.32, and that's the prevailing range. MBS down about half a point, and from here, we will turn our attention to the week's remaining data to get a firm commitment as to whether or not we'll be breaking out of that training range in any significant way. There is some question about last week's data because PCE inflation was out on Friday, even though it was a holiday, and some people expected that to have a better effect on bonds because it was in line with expectations and painted a little bit of a better picture than the CPI data a couple weeks ago, and coming in at 0.3 versus 0.3, by the way, and down from 0.5 previously. But the fact that the previous reading is now up to 0.5 sort of offsets the headline improvement, because that was an upward revision from the initially reported 0.4. All told, though, I think the market reacted to CPI first and foremost. PCE just hasn't had much of an impact in this environment. Fed Chair Powell spoke on Friday, didn't say anything we haven't already heard. So really, the market was waiting for the new month trading and also to trade this week's economic data. So getting back to talking about this week's economic data, there is a significant report almost every day this week. Tomorrow's will be JOLTS, Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey at 10 a.m. And Wednesday will be ISM Non-Manufacturing, which is generally worth a bigger reaction than the manufacturing version. Thursday is the only day without any obviously huge piece of economic data. And then Friday, the hugest comes out with the jobs report, currently expected to show 200,000 payrolls and unchanged unemployment rate at 3.9%. If that were to happen, it's hard to say which direction the bond market would go. It might depend on the internals. But in general, the Fed is still talking about rate cuts in June, maybe at the earliest. And the jobs data would need to be near or below forecast to make that more likely. And even then, it will be next week's CPI data that has a bigger impact on the rate cut expectations. That's going to do it for this week. Back to you.
I like that report. Hugest. Give Matt a bad time about that. Slip that in. I love how he does that. But yeah, looking at the market right now and looking at where the 10-year's at, it is not a fun day. And it just puts such a real cold blanket on the rate updates. Bill Corbett, come on in here. Let's talk. Give me a reflection on Les's and then on Matt's thoughts.
So I agree with Matt. I think everybody's going to hang on between the employment and the CPI data. But the reality is, there's a lot of data that's going to come out between now and when the Fed is likely to do their first move. So I also don't think that any one point is going to realistically swing the odds that dramatically one way or the other, right? They've said they're data dependent. They've said it enough. You have to believe them. And again, there's a lot of data coming out between now and June. I think going back to what Les said, bigger picture, there's the BRICS and the alternatives to the dollar. But which I listened to last and I think I understand it. And then I try and regurgitate it to somebody. I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure I get it yet. But what I do get is, and this is not a shock and it's being talked about, but it's being ignored. We got to get our debt problem under control. Oh. Anything that's long-term optimism is entirely dependent on getting debt under control. And nobody seems to want to do that. And I thought your comment about Bob Brokschmidt and the government, the Biden administration says one thing and does the opposite. It applies to the debt as well. Right? Yes. They have an Inflation Reduction Act, which is a blank checkbook. And when you agree with the merits of any individual policy, this is bipartisan. Like, folks, you've got to stop spending money that you don't have. Unfortunately, now they have a massive bridge in Baltimore that has to be replaced. If it was a household, you would sit around the table and said, we need to replace this, so we're not going to be able to do fill in the blank. We're not hearing the other side of that equation.
We got to do this and continue spending the money that we've been spending. So let's just increase the debt. Yeah. Great thoughts on that. Mark, add in any thoughts you have, reflection on the today's economic information. I was going to talk, I'm glad you brought up the bridge because then my wife was reading an article. We were driving. We went and visited our daughter in Midland, Texas. It's a five-hour drive, so we got this windshield time. And so my wife is saying, did you hear this economic report? Did you hear this? She's really good. She loves following this stuff. And she was talking about the economic impact of this bridge collapse on there. It's, are you kidding me? And specific industries that are going to be hammered on this. So it's quite significant. I'm glad you brought that up. Not only that, isn't it interesting? Sir Francis Key, creator of the Star Spangled Banner, our national anthem. Is it a hit to that? Mark, your thoughts.
I got a couple here. I would liken the talk we heard this morning to a friend of mine. He made this comment last week. He said, if the federal government went into a bankruptcy court to explain to the judge why they're going to file bankruptcy, the judge would laugh at them. So we're so far in the hole right now, it's laughable. And I've just about interpreted maybe the way that I'm going to go forward with life and look at these things. I'm not so sure that the reports on a weekly or monthly basis matter that much anymore. What's going to happen is going to happen. What we do from the information that comes at us, though, is what's going to decide our future. And I just think we need to manage our businesses the best we can and realize that we really don't have control over these other things. And it's a bunch of people with a bunch of numbers that sometimes don't mean anything to any of us controlling our future. So we just got to do the best job day in and day out to manage our risks and go forward and try to make some money and keep people employed.
Which goes
I just get more frustrated every time I hear something.
The frustration rises with every one of these. Alice, when you're looking at this kind of stuff, I mean, you've been talking about the Kittle, who hopefully will join us today, talks about it. It's just getting back. You got to ignore the noise and get out and do the job. It's just getting out. And which is really interesting, Alice, when you look at the economic data. I was talking to my friend Tony last week, getting some information and updates and clarity on some of the things that he's put out. We're still having a good year. There was a 10-year period. I'm looking at the graphs. I did a presentation a week ago with Mitch Peak. And one of the things I was in getting ready for that, I love looking at economic data. What are tens? Trying to ignore the noise and look at the patterns that are there. What's interesting is from 2008 to 2018, a 10-year window, we were at these levels or less when it comes to volume levels. It's a capacity issue. Granted, we have a housing supply issue, but it is really extraordinary how we get wrapped around the axle when we're actually having what would be considered a decent production year. Thoughts, Alice, on all of this good stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll focus on purchases and stop praying for refis. That's the bottom line. Just stop. They're not coming back. We're in this normal interest rate environment. I think this is to look historically at what you and I have seen over the last 40, 50 years. And so I think that's the focus. Focus on your purchases, tighten up your game, make sure your financials are in order, which will play a little bit to my report on FHA's recent report on those who got fined last year.
Yes, can't wait to hear about that. Before we move on, Alan, anything you want to add in on the market, interest rate, economics comments?
We've been in this exact position for a while now. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. We're going to see some up and downs. I love the commentary and the insights from our team here. And I think we just continue to let borrowers know that the American dream is possible. Great technology to help lower the cost, which may help affect homeowners, which would be really good. And we keep educating and training, but I think we got to push forward as hard as we can.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see lower interest rates in the near future. Hopefully, we'd like to see that, but as in fact, count kicks in. But I'm less and less. First of all, as I coach and work with executives, I tell people, get over this thinking, because if you're always thinking about rates coming around, it puts you in a place where you're anticipating a positive future in the near short term and missing near term opportunities. And that's what we got to get our head past. By the way, Matt Graham, you got to sign up for his product. We love Matt Graham for his personality. Love what he does. MBSLive.net does such a good job of bringing you live up to the nanosecond information. You can sign up if you haven't already done. So many of our listeners have told me how they're so grateful we brought on Matt, and he says we love what he does. We love the screens and the commentary. There's so many aspects about what's on there, the CNBC updates that are live, that or the feeds that he posts in there, as well as the commentary when you look at other loan officers. And not only that, several loan officers have told me what goes on in the commentary section helps them discover ways in which they could do more deals. So there's just some great conversation amongst originators on his platform. So many reasons to get signed up. LOL is the code to get an extended trial period, but just sign up for it. Put your credit card in and do it. All right. Kittle's not here. We get him in on his comments. We had a great time at TMC last week. It was a good conference. It was so much fun to see everybody. We had Truv sponsored the Monday night party, open house reception at the Louisville Slugger Museum. That was a fun deal to go at. And it's fitting, Alice, that we bring that up with it being today is opening day of baseball season. So good to have you here, Alice Alvey, Vice President, Partner Training, Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. So good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, we are celebrating opening days across the country today at Union Home. So Bill did a partner free lunch. We had hot dogs and beer cheese pretzels and, of course, Cracker Jacks. We had lots of fun today. We had ketchup and mustard and onion running around, the mascots that run around the field. So that was fun too.
I love the culture that you guys have. So it's a way of getting back into the office fun again. And we miss out on those things. So I think it's so awesome that you're doing that. So anyway, you teased us a little bit with something that you got to talk about the FHA. Can't wait to hear about that.
I was going to talk about that second, but okay, I'll talk about that first.
Go with you what you're going to talk for. Keep us in suspense.
No worries. Yeah, okay. My first topic today is bringing back into the forefront the oversight of the appraisal industry as far as mortgages are concerned. Mr. Chopra, director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, he wrote a letter in response to the hearings that have been going on, yes, about the appraisal bias. So there have been multiple hearings. You can listen to all 3 hours of each recording if you like to go back and hear every bit of what's been testified, with the focus originally being on appraisal bias and really trying to make sure that appraisals today are fair, value isn't interpreted by being on the wrong side of the highway or by the appraiser's own personal background. So there's a lot of issues on the table here, just simply needing more diversity within the appraiser community. And how do we get more appraisers out and available to be able to do appraisals in all areas around the country? There are issues in urban as well as rural areas, you name it. So it's a really big issue. It's, as we say here, those waters are very deep. So I think it's interesting for my report here to just let everybody know this is really coming to the surface, the oversight of the appraisal community. For those of you who aren't aware, there is an appraisal subcommittee, and then there's an appraisal foundation that has been basically the controlling entity into how someone actually enters into the field of being an appraiser. They manage all of that. So if you want to read Mr. Chopra's letter, he describes the background on the two and really the concern that has evolved after the hearing about some of the improvements that they want to make in the control and the oversight of this. It's just fascinating that all of this is coming really into the forefront right now. So I encourage everyone to go ahead and read up on that and hear what's going on. We'll continue to watch that if there are any concrete developments. Right now, it was several hearings that occurred throughout January and February. And then you can get a summary of it and see where CFPB is coming from in the recent letter published by Mr. Chopra. All right, my second issue, which Dave teed up, is we were talking about fines and penalties. When you talk about the economy today and needing as lenders to focus on the positive and focus on the industry, you've still got to make sure you keep everything in line, including your financials. So FHA published in the Federal Register their Mortgagee Review Board administrative actions for 2022. So it starts October of 22 to September of 23. And so what they do is they publish this report every year. It shows everybody that they find throughout that year. You never want your name on this list because everybody reads it. There were 88 companies who were listed and were fined in some way. I've got the list here. I'm not going to read it to you. That's okay. And I'm not going to name names because in my opinion, the purpose of talking about it is not to go, oh, who had what happened to them? It's more about checking the list to make sure at your company, you recognize these are areas that can cause fines and penalties. And these are areas I have got to make sure I am buttoned up on, no matter what interest rates are. So there's things like failure to disclosing the proper operating losses, failure for people to timely review post-closing quality control findings. The biggest fines and penalties come if you have underwriting oversight and QC violations. But then just simply forgetting to report a sanction, like you forgot, on your annual certification from a state sanction that occurred, that's $5,000 right out the window right there because you forgot to check that box and let FHA know about it. So I really recommend everyone take a look at this report. If you didn't read last year's, you can go see that too. They're all out there. It keeps you in the loop on what is FHA citing. Sometimes it's worth knowing who if you want to see what your competitors are up to. But at the end of the day, I like to read it to make sure as a company, we are making sure those areas are all buttoned up. And what are the things that FHA does fine for? So that's my heads up for everybody today.
Good job. One of the things on the appraisal, I want to go back to that topic. First of all, very good. Excellent information on both. The appraisal thing is really something I want to talk about just briefly because there is a new, but the company's not new. There's a guy by name that I'm a good friends with and a business partner in more than one thing. We actually have now two ventures we're working on together. His name is Alan Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, Alan Weiss Analytics. You must pay attention to what he can do and is doing. So Alan and I have launched a new streaming television program on Your Home TV Network. This is the one that Kathy Ireland had launched. It has already had over 39 million views. The network has our program that we just launched it, which has had over 52,000 views. I have another program out, Your Home Business, which has got over 389,000 views. It's really taking off, this new network. So one thing is the YourHomeTV.com network. You can be streaming and look at all the programs. Alan and I have one on that's called Your Home Coast to Coast. Alan was the founder of Case Shiller. Everyone on the podcast, if you've been in the industry any amount of time, know what Case Shiller is about. We tell in episode one the story of that. It's really an interesting story. Alan is a graduate student at Yale and was investing in some real estate. He knocked on Dr. Chip Case's office door and said, "Hey, is there any way you could predict a value? What's going on?" He said, "I'm writing a paper about that." So again, in that first episode, you'll hear all about it. And so he says, "I'm working with a guy by the name of Professor Case, I think Case or Shiller, over at Wellesley, and we're working on this together." But he says, "We don't have any computer knowledge." Well, Alan was a computer geek and knew how to put this all together. So they formed Case Shiller Weiss, and it was best known for the Case Shiller Report because of the two famous economists that were on that. So what Alan, they sold that company to, I believe it was Fidelity, then it got bought up. Case Shiller is currently owned and inside of CoreLogic right now. But here's the problem with that. The Case Shiller Report gives an indication of a metro area. Now, we all know that in a particular metro area, some properties are going up and some properties are going down. Alan, after he sold his interest in Case Shiller Weiss, he went on to continue to work on that. And now he has it's called Weiss Analytics, where you can go down and look at what the property values have been and 1 year forward, predicting what 1 year forward they will be. And he calls it a real estate weather map. And it's the most interesting thing. And I'm going to have Alan come on. So we're doing this TV program and you'll have to hear all about it, but it predicts where property values are going and what is. So you look at, like in the city, we were doing a presentation with our videographer that we're using for this TV program. And he was showing, it says, use Phoenix, for example. It shows that Phoenix in 2004, it was all dark green, which means all the properties all over Phoenix area, the whole Phoenix market, greater Phoenix market, were all going up. And then it shows as with time, as you move the time bar automatically, like a video rolls forward, you start seeing the outlying areas of Phoenix start turning from dark green to light green to amber as time moves on, and then it turns red. So here in the center part of Phoenix, the property values are still going up. Everyone's making offers, anticipating things going up, and they're not aware that there is a freeze, a cold front, so to speak, metaphorically speaking, moving in on that housing market. It foretold, and it shows, and then shows the recovery and when it came out, and it's now right now going, tipping over again and going a little bit where we're starting to see some lighter green on property value. So they have 91 million homes that they have all this data on, and you can log in, and we're going to be able to show our listeners how to log in for free where you can go find out what's going on in a home. It's the most amazing data set about what's going on with property value. So as a tease before what we're doing, before Alan comes on the podcast, go to Weiss Analytics, W-E-I-S-S, analytics.com. Check it out, which has had ridiculous the number of views already and going up exponentially. So fascinating stuff, but it really talks about what's going on in property values in the market. It's really interesting. Not everything is going up right now. And that creates opportunities in the market. We as lenders, where should we be focusing our attention? As servicers, what should we be looking at? So much information. And that tell you, business intelligence is going to be one of the most important things we lose as we move forward. Alice, good report. Thank you so much. I had to jump that in, pique everyone's interest when you were talking about appraisals and share about Weiss Analytics. I'm so excited to be in partnership with Alan. What a brilliant guy and what a fun area to talk about and property values for America. Let's get over to our good friend, Alan Pollack, who's here to talk about the weekly tech update. Alan, always fun to have you here and always good to get a update in technology. And there's so much happening out there. My gosh, it's all over
Absolutely.
The map, Alan. And what do you got for us today?
I have so much. I'm going to have to condense it down, but let's start with some really cool things. No funny jokes or anything like that today. Those beer pretzels that Alice talked about sound really good.
They do.
And yeah. Why do I have a feeling like, I feel like pretzels have been on the rise. Like most places you go, they all now have pretzels on the appetizer menu. I like to call them appies. And then they also have beer pretzels or pretzels with beer cheese. And I feel like the trend is growing. I love pretzels. So Alice made me hungry, but that sounds like a lot of fun over at Union Home Mortgage. So David, check this out. I spoke with Jim Polino over at Lodestar. I don't know if Jim.
I do.
Really cool. Really cool company and product and service that they have over there. So he has a podcast and he interviewed me. And one of the sections talked about gauging growth. And it's on LinkedIn. And if you guys aren't tired of hearing me speak already, then please go out and check it out. You can just find it simply by looking for Lodestar, my name, or Jim Polino. But get this. LinkedIn has a button that says, give me the key takeaways. So I clicked it. It's AI based. Get this. I was so impressed by it. I don't know why I don't click it in usual times, but get this. It said, this post highlights Alan's insights on mortgage technology engaging growth, drawing from his extensive experience in the field. It introduces a lending leaders episode. Okay, so it talks about that. And three bullets it gave, which are really great. Growth is a continuous journey marked by overcoming challenges and achievement and achieving milestones, as shared by Alan. Innovation in mortgage technology, like developing a pricing engine, going back to my early 2000s, requires resilience and adaptability in the face of competition and technical issues. That's huge, David, for everybody right now building AI solutions in our industry, trying to do something new or be different.
Yes.
I'm just going to read that sentence again. Requires resilience and adaptability in the face of competition and technical issues. It's great to have competition. It's great to learn from your competition, your customers. So I was impressed with myself, to be honest with you, when I read the takeaways. And then the final one is sustainability in business is about more than just reaching profitability. It involves constant growth, facing new challenges, and maintaining operations. So I thought that was interesting. Check it out if you have a chance. All right.
Yeah.
Every podcast, I feel, David, we've talked about some type of data breach or fraud. Unfortunately, is a topic. Yeah. We have to talk about AT&T just put millions of customers' data on the dark web. They're saying somewhere in the area of 7.6 million current accounts, names, addresses, phone numbers, date of birth, and social security numbers. By the way, in addition to that, just 2 weeks ago, if you live in the Jacksonville area, Beaches Energy, which is a huge energy company, the same kind of data, including credit card and bank account numbers, was released. And the only thing these companies can do is just say, we're going to provide you with free credit monitoring.
That's right.
And maybe a little bit of insurance.
Yeah,
there's really nothing that can be done about it.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll talk about that in a moment. In March of this year, going back to AT&T, about 50,000 customers, a ransomware group released 50,000 customers' data for Beaches Energy. That was one by me. That was 50,000 people. They basically said, hey, we've got all this information. We're going to hold it ransom unless you pay us $1 million or $2 million or whatever it is. And by the way, that's happened in the mortgage industry. You don't hear about it all the time because it's ransomware, meaning that it's quietly paid. Yep. But it does happen all the time. AT&T, by the way, with 7.6 million records. I didn't get much into cybersecurity on today's episode, but I did see that Housing Wire had an article. You may want to go read this. It basically says, a focus on cybersecurity, a timely reminder with the rise in cyber attacks, and educate your internal staff. Focus on empowering your teams. There's employee training, especially for your SOC audits and the security training that they have. Cybersecurity always is a part of it. Remember, yes, in our industry, a couple podcasts prior, in each of them, we've talked about some of the big lenders and organizations in our industry that had cyber attacks. It's time to really pay attention to that. David, you know how in the last few weeks, switching topics now, you've talked about folks investing money into other tech companies? This is a really big one. Radian, I didn't see the amount. I don't know if it's disclosed, but Radian just made a strategic investment in FinLocker. And they want to focus on delivering personal data-driven journey to empower homeowners. Now, FinLocker has been doing some really unique things. They, for a few years, They've worked with a number of banks and credit unions on the depository side as a PFM. They've completely revolutionized what they do. You want to check out what they do if you haven't. And hats off to Brian View. He's always on
He has discovered the power of LinkedIn in a way. He says it's almost like a full-time job now just to maintain it.
It definitely
and
is.
The book that he co-authored is going on. It is just a must-read book. Yeah. So good. Really good.
Really smart guy. The investment from Radian, by the way, just going back to the article, it's their commitment to ensure the American dream of home ownership responsibly and sustainably through products and services that span the mortgage and real estate spectrum. So basically, they feel that their investment is a good collaboration and will help what FinLocker is doing to get more homeowners educated, help them get into the American dream. I'm so excited to see how that evolves over time. David, here's an interesting company. We talked about them about 2-3 years ago. It's called Fly Homes. And what they do is they give you the ability to buy your home before selling. So they call it buy before sell. They give you about 90 days. They just launched a wholesale channel. So they're giving mortgage brokers, which we know there's a big focus on mortgage brokers right now, the ability to leverage their products behind the scenes. While they're still the originator of record, is what their article says, but it allows them to help find ways to get borrowers into homes when they've had a challenge or there's a contingency of some sort. So check out Fly Homes if you're a broker or if you have a TPO channel. David, I spoke with the folks over at Lender Toolkit this past week. I had no idea until getting on the phone with them the amount of products they have. They are integrated with almost every LOS system. They have automation. They have reporting. They've got their own dashboard, which was said to them right on the phone. I said, I am so impressed by everything you have matured over all of these years. I had no idea. If you're looking for a partner to do some of those things, or someone to help with a tech solution that has a lot of integrations, go check out Lender Toolkit. I did last week, David, a video for one of my startups. So for anyone that I've recently talked to, I've got a number that I'm working on, 3 in total, by the way. I went, and there's 2 AI platforms. One is called Veed, V-E-D, and the other one's called Creatify. You want to write those down. You can go online. There's free trials. It's as inexpensive as $40 a month. And I told it what I was looking to advertise about. So this one is in the health insurance industry, and I gave it a little script. It used AI to make the script broader, and I had the option to choose or keep it. And then it went and created, and I chose social media, by the way, like Instagram, TikTok for the advertising. And it automatically put a real person in there whose words were synced identically without any resemblance of it being created by AI to speak. And it created the video, multiple layers of video and audio and images. And I uploaded a couple images as well. And it put it in a video editor with multiple tracks and I modified it and it made it look like I literally shot and edited the whole video over many hours. It was unbelievable. And then in one of them, you can click and just change the avatar, they call it, but they're real people. And when you pay, they have something like over 250 real people that you would never know are being generated by AI with their lips and the words syncing exactly. So if you're looking to advertise or talk in marketing terms, there's obviously restrictions in our industry about advertising. You want to look at these two. I'll talk about the differences between them next week. I think it's a huge tool that everybody could benefit from. So that's Veed and Creatify. And we'll talk about that next week. Yeah. And the final thing, David, we talked last week about vendors and the problem with managing vendors. So 2 things on that. And then we'll button up my segment for today. The first is we talked about a couple really interesting points. I've summarized them. I don't want to talk about the problem. I think we all can identify with what the problem of managing all of our vendors are, but the solution, just 3 simple points. It's in summary, and then to close off the loop on this, contract review and renewal. You have to have some folks within your organization that are looking at the contracts and the renewal and what those vendors do for you. You've got to do the due diligence for security reasons. You do not want to be in the middle of a security breach or be named in one or have to, you know, contact insurance and attorneys. That's not fun. And communication and documentation. Those are so deep, each of those categories, but that's in summary of those final things. There's a lot of reasons to do that. If you want to help in that area, reach out to David, his email address, or reach out to me, alan@tms-advisors.com. Fractionally, I do these things for people, and so does David. But thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Good. Alice, you had some thoughts that you were signaling to me on camera here. Follow-up thoughts?
Yeah, Alan, when you brought up the AI, we leverage Synthesia for our training, and it is really a great software. And it does exactly a lot. It has a lot of the features that Alan just referenced, where you can pick an avatar, you pick the audio. You got to know what you're doing to be able to make it work. But boy, it's just amazing how realistic the software can. And I'm sure with every passing minute, it's getting better, right? The way technology moves today.
Yeah.
But yes, that's another great vendor. Worthwhile and an absolute cost savings. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up, Alice. That's another one of the vendors. There's a few in like the top five that are really good, and that's one of those.
Yeah, that's true. There's so much developing. I've finished reading the book on this trip, listening to the book. I'm an Audible guy, The Coming Wave. And it is one of the most interesting books I've read, talking about all that's going to be done for us in the future. And what does that mean? What are different kind of skill sets we have? It's the critical thinking that we are as humans are going to be able to do it. Critical thinking, and more importantly, the communication of that critical thought and how we begin to do that. That is such a strong skill set that we as humans have got to develop and continue to develop, because that's the job that's going to be left afterwards, because so much of the services are being done. Great stories, and we'll talk more about that in the future. I'm looking at our calendar. I want to be respectful of everyone's time. On the security note, on the cybercrime, we had at the TMC speaking again, and it's the Scott, and I'll spend his last name because you want to check out his website and his videos on there. It's so important to understand that Scott is AUGENBAUM. Scott talked about the simplest things we can do to avoid so much of the cybercrime risk for ourselves and for our companies. We cannot do enough on this very topic. He lives in the Nashville area. He's got some great content. Again, we just can't remind ourselves enough. So check it out. We'll put a link to Scott's LinkedIn page and his contact information in that below in our show notes for today. Mark Helm, what's going on out there in the world of servicing? Anything you have to report? Fannie, Freddie, love having you on here. Get your commentary.
I'm going to give a shout out to Alan on what he just covered with us. I'm rolling out a reverse mortgage program at a company, and we're doing some training, and I think I'm going to use that training we do and put it in AI and use that avatar, because that's something we can send to people. And I really like that idea, just distributing that so that people can really hear the basics rather than, and they don't have to sign into something at a given time to do it. So I think that's going to be a good tool for us. So I'm going to jump all over that, Alan. Thank you for the heads up on that.
Good to hear.
Not a lot to say about servicing these days, the same old to some degree. I think it's a time when we in our industry, where volumes are still down, obviously. And I think people ought to really be paying attention to core elements of our industry now to do things quicker, better, faster. And I think it's a good time to pay attention to compliance and quality control issues to make sure that what you're putting out is a quality product, because when you get so busy that you can't focus on those things, that's when you run into problems. So fine tuning those while the volume is down is a smart thing to do, and make sure you got the proper controls on everything. Because remember, our auditors, external and internal, and everyone else at agencies, nobody else Alice talked about, are going to look at those things. I think the more attention we pay to them now during these times, the better performers we are going to be for the future. So I think that's very important. And I also think that one of the things that we talked about today is about our future of our industry. I'm concerned about what happened on the real estate front with NRA and all that. I really am. But the bottom line is, I think the agencies have a mantra that they got to deal with to make sure our borrowers are protected. And I think they'll make sure that no funny kind of fees get charged to go back to borrowers to make up for that loss in the industry. But I think it's going to have over time, it's going to have a very critical effect on the real estate industry. And most of my realtors that I know now personally, their friends, are panicking to some degree, because a lot of them depend on something they probably shouldn't have, was the passive income they got for listing a piece of property and never having to do anything on it to sell it. And those days are going to be gone for folks. So I hope they figure out a way to survive in this competitive market we got out there. So I think that'll come. But all in all, it's another great podcast today. Great ideas, great thoughts. And I appreciate everybody, because I certainly logged a bunch of things in for me to do out of it. That's for sure. Thank you, David.
Appreciate it, Mark, very much. I keep looking at our industry. Where do we hear so many headwinds? We hear so many struggling. listeners, let's be really clear. We have a capacity issue. We have got that is going to get worked out. The ones that have the right mindset, as Alice was talking about, David talks about, David Kittle talks about here, that are just focusing on the market that we have and going and getting it, it's going to make the difference. Think about this. Maslow's hierarchy of needs, self-actualization is at the top, self-esteem. I want you to think about yourself when you own a home rather than being a renter. We hit there. Love and belonging that involves in friendship, intimacy, family, sense of connection. We do that so much more effectively with when you were a homeowner. You look at safety needs. Do you feel more secure when you're in your own home versus a hotel room or an apartment? Yes. And psychological needs such as air, water, food, shelter, sleep. Home ownership hits on all of the hierarchical needs of Maslow's law of needs. And I'm telling you, this is something, housing is not going away. How we own it, and we need to be financed for as long as there's time. The question is whether or not you are going to be the one doing the business in the future, taking advantage of the technology that Alan talks about, that we talk about here, having the right mindset that Alice and Kittle and all of us talk about here. You must have that, or you're not going to be able to make this cut that's coming. There is a big cut in the industry. We need to reduce. I hate to say it. Get on board, get on, or quickly go find another job, because if you can't cut it, get out, because this is an industry that needs to have the true professionals in it. It's going on in the real estate world. It's good that what's just happened with NIR is going to be raising the game of every realtor, and we're going through that here. This is a place to be if you're wanting to, if you're doing it for the right reason. If you're just in it for easy money, those days may have passed. This is back to working hard, but you can make a great living. And more importantly, you can make such a difference in the lives of those you serve. Go out, make a difference, get the right mindset, and make it happen for yourself. We're so glad that you listened to this podcast. We're grateful to have you as our listener. We again thank all of our sponsors for being here: Byte Software, Finastra, Total Expert, Lender Homepage, Truve, Angel AI, MBA, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Mobility MI, and Modex, and Knowledge Group. Be sure to tell others about it. Check out our website as well as our sponsors' websites that you can get to from our website and all the links that we've mentioned on this podcast. Have a great week. Hope you had a good Easter. We're glad to have you back. Let's make it a great week. Have a great one. Happy first day of baseball. Happy April Fools. See you, everybody.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.